Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meal at a new restaurant you may want to try. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is a former hospitality worker and a current corporate event planner. Lawton Driscoll, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and a happy late birthday.
Thank you very much, and thank you for planning such a lovely birthday party for me.
It was my absolute pleasure, and a big thank you to Street to Kitchen Thai for hosting us.
Yes, Street to Kitchen did a fantastic job. We're not going to talk about that meal today, but I think we'll have some news out of Street to Kitchen very soon that is not unrelated to my birthday dinner. Anyway, let us move on to the news of the week. Topic number one, MacHike Enterprises announced that they are bringing a new restaurant called Kirkwood to an office building in the Energy Corridor. Kirkwood will serve steaks, seafood, and other American fare. It will be led by Chef Stephen Chang, who I met when he was the chef de cuisine of Relish. He's also worked at the Petroleum Club and in New York. It's an interesting restaurant, Lawton, in the sense that the decor will pay some homage to MacHike, who was a professional football player, now an entrepreneur who has car dealerships and other businesses. And it's also in a part of the city that's not necessarily known for having a lot of upscale dining. So I say all that to say to you, as someone who works in the general energy business, what is your reaction to the news of Kirkwood?
I mean, I think that location is always ready for a new fine dining option. They've got Jonathan the Rub, but they've got Liberty Kitchen, which kind of leans a little bit more fine dining in that location over there. Hopefully they have a big PDR, a private dining room, because I know of event planners and I know of people kind of who work out there. Shell has their main campus not far away. They're always looking for some place to host a nice dinner, some place that they can have a little privacy. So I think that's really well suited for the area that they're in. I can't wait to see the menu. I haven't had an opportunity to look it over. But when you say that the restaurant decor is a little football reminiscent, are we talking like he's going to have like his jerseys on the wall, or are we talking like it's they're throwing footballs like rolls? What's the?
Yeah, no, I think a little classier. They're working with Jin Design Group, who always does a lot of pretty spaces. The last time you were on the show, we talked about High Key. That's mm-hmm. a Jin Design Group. You know, they've done Eunice and a whole bunch of other places. So, you know, classy. It's kind of a little bit of a supper club vibe, a little bit of a elevated clubhouse vibe. That's what they're going for. So yeah, it's not a sports bar by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I think that sounds great. I personally have tried to plan events over on that side of town and, you know, send options to clients. There's that one steakhouse that is kind of close to Memorial City Mall.
There's a Perry's.
The kind of South American steakhouse, Brazil sort of style place where they bring the cuts of the meat to your table, which I'm always a fan of. I love looking at it. But I can't wait to learn more. When is their predicted open date?
Fall. So we've got a little bit of time before this all happens. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as a diner, right, you want to avoid this hassles. Like, I know City Center is very popular, but, you know, just as someone who likes to see the building when I park my car, it's like, you know, going to City Center can be a little bit of a hassle. So anything that kind of gets you away from that Capitol Grill in City Center, I think would be welcome, you know, something that's a little newer, a little more modern than maybe the Brenner's that's out there on I-10. You know, I something that's a little more personal maybe than the Perry's that's in Memorial City Mall. You know, I could see a lot of I can kind of see where the clients are coming from, you know, the potential diners for this restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to check it out.
All right, let's move on to topic number two. John Avia, the owner of Henderson and Kane, has opened Pinball's Pizzeria in the Second Ward. This was very briefly a location on kind of where Canal Street and Navigation diverge. It was very briefly Southside Flying Pie from Austin, but now it is Pinball's Pizzeria. Lawton, this is an area you know well, you know, the East End. And the East End is not without pizza, right? There's Tiny Champions, there's Neighbors, which is in the same development as Street to Kitchen. So Pinball's kind of enters a competitive marketplace, to say nothing of the Jonathan's the Rub on Navigation that does New York style pies. But this is a more casual spot, a neighborhood spot, a place with obviously pinball machines and TVs for watching sports and all that. So what do you think about the idea of a new pizzeria opening in the second ward?
I don't ever think that pizza is a bad idea. I mean, who says no to a delicious pizza? It's certainly not my, it's certainly not me. I'm looking at the menu. The pricing seems super, super low when you're kind of comparing it to pizza places downtown. Like when Beetlejuice, which is sort of my personal kind of go-to spot for a little bit more of an elevated pizza. This pricing looks amazing. Desserts, make your own pie. They seem to have like some extensive pastas. There's an, that's kind of fun to add in there. I like pinball. Is it something that I'm necessarily going to go and sit and eat and play pinball? No, but I do think that the East End is having an influx of families move there, as kind of certainly my generation of 30 somethings are not wanting to leave the city, not wanting to do major commutes, but are looking for maybe a little bit more space as their children grow up a little bit. And it looks very family friendly to me. I can totally see people kind of walking from their neighborhood with their strollers. That new development over there that they have with the theater, it's on the bayou. There's sort of all
East River.
the East River, right? I think that kind of with that build out, I'm seeing so many people taking their families there. There's a golf course, all of those things, and kind of having all of these food options. I mean, Navigation traditionally had tons and tons and tons of Mexican food and not much else. So kind of seeing some of these, different cuisines pop up is nice for the neighborhood.
No, and I think that's all well said. And I think, from pinball's perspective, it's right next to Cidercade, which I know has been a very popular, arcade for families, for 20 somethings, for a fun night out. So I think the idea that you can get a little pizza at Pinballs and then go next door to Cidercade and get your video game on, I think that's very appealing. And of course, we know Henderson and Kane, right? We know that it's known for barbecue. John grew up in that part of Houston. He knows it well. And so that they can have a little fun, right? They can do a chorizo and cheese stuffed crust pizza, or a Trumpo pizza with kind of a variation on a Mexican riff on a Hawaiian style with grilled pineapple. I think that all makes sense. And as you said, the menu is pretty extensive. And I like that in a pizzeria, right? Like the thing that sort of holds me back from Home Slice, as much as I like their pizza, is they don't have wings. It's like I want to be able to get a pizza and wings and maybe a meatball sub all in one place, and there's relatively few Houston options for that. So,
I mean, Beetlejuice certainly has, they have that tiny burger, their wings are delicious. And please put some respect on Home Slice's Italian sandwich, because that sandwich is delicious. I love the bread. It's great. It's got the shredded lettuce. I remember when you and I went years ago to when they first opened, and I sat down and I was like, wait, this sandwich, tell me more about this sandwich. It's delicious. So,
It's delicious when you remember to order it without mayo, because they slather the thing in mayo and it ruins the flavors for me. But Beetlejuice does have wings. Beetlejuice does have the burger. That's what I liked about Vinny's, the agricultural hospitality restaurant in Edo that closed last year, is you could get a pizza and wings and meatballs there. And it shouldn't be this hard. It should, it's one of the things I like about Nano's, is that they have all of those things. So, I'm excited. I haven't had a chance to go to Pinballs yet. It's obviously not far from where I live, and so it's very much on my list.
Well, you mentioned that it's kind of by Cidercade and all of those, like any of those spaces. I personally, you could not pay me enough to spend an evening in Cidercade because the noise and the lights and the children and all of that is like really not my thing. But I don't see any reason why you couldn't drop your children off there, or your preteens or your teenagers, and then go have a nice dinner with your husband somewhere like this that's, nearby. You can give the kids a little space and then you go do something a little bit more elevated, maybe something a little nice. You and your husband can play pinball over pizza and then let the kids go do the Cidercade thing.
There you go. Coming soon to our progressive East End date night draft. All right, and then Lawton, just topic number three. I don't want to get too far into the weeds on this, but I did want to note that Nancy's Hustle is now open daily. For years, Nancy's Hustles has been open 6 nights a week. They'd always been closed on Mondays. During the pandemic, that kind of shrunk to 5 days a week. But now, Monday through Sunday, every night from 5 to 11, you can go to Nancy's Hustle and get your Nancy cakes and your burger and your lamb dumplings and all of the good things at Nancy's Hustle. So I know you're a fan of Nancy's Hustle. I'm a fan of Nancy's Hustle. So I just thought I would ask you if being open on Monday makes it more likely that you will go to Nancy's Hustle.
Absolutely. And I think it's really great for their corporate business. I think a lot of times people are coming into town on Mondays and looking for a place to take clients out to eat, or they've got team members that are coming in, and sometimes it's hard to find something. I know that you made a pretty comprehensive list of places that are open on Mondays, which is much appreciated. But I mean, Nancy's Hustle is packed every single night. I can't imagine it not being a good thing for them. I mean, find me posted up at the bar this evening. Like, I love their food. I think it's great for the business.
Yeah, I had a good conversation with John Jensen, one of the owners of Nancy's Hustle, about this. He said a couple of things I thought were interesting, right? First of all, they received a Bib Gourmand in the Michelin Guide, and that they have seen an influx of customers who, maybe they're going to go to a star, like maybe they're going to go to March or BCN or whatever, but they're kind of building the rest of their trip to Houston around visiting some of the Bib Gourmand spots. So, being open on Mondays obviously makes them. It's a little easier if you're coming in on a weekend. Maybe you stick around for Monday, go home Tuesday. Now you can include Nancy's Hustle on that roster. The other thing is, they've always had an industry crowd that has the benefit of a seating, not just being open until 11, but seating people until 11, right? So if you get out of your restaurant job at 10 or 10:30, you can sneak over to Nancy's and still have a full meal. But of course, a lot of restaurants are closed on Mondays. So, that kind of makes them more accessible to their peers. And then the other thing he said that I thought was interesting is they take a lot of pride in giving managers 2 consecutive days off every week. And, when you're closed on Monday, one of those days off has to be Monday. But that doesn't always work for people. And if your spouse or your partner is has a a regular job in the business world, a 9-to-5 kind of sitch, you may want one of those days off to be Saturday or Sunday. And so now, this sort of facilitates shifting staff schedules around and giving people some flexibility in a way that they didn't have when they were always closed on Monday. So I it's just an interesting, it was an interesting conversation with Sean. It was a good chance to catch up to him because, I think Nancy's has now been around long enough, right? It opened in 2017, that there's not really much to say about it. It is consistently excellent. I would say it's one of the best restaurants in Houston, but we don't talk about it very often because there's nothing new to say, right? It's just it's still there, still doing its thing. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk to Sean and like you, just knowing that it's available on a Monday when things are a little quieter, when it might be a little easier to walk in, makes me more likely to dine there.
Well, I think available is all relative because I actually checked Resy today to see what those Monday reservations looked like. And honey, they are full. So they are booked up. You can get a reservation at 9:15 tonight. And then if for earlier, you can play the gamble of the walk-in list. But I think it deserves mentioning to say how respectful and how great it is that for them to give their managers 2 consecutive days off. That's really unheard of in the restaurant industry. And that Sunday, Monday day off is gold. So we'll see how it goes with their staffing. But I think that they know how to do food. They do it right. They treat their staff with respect. They're really the goat when it comes to restaurants in Houston.
Absolutely. All right. Lawton, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Lawton, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Agnes and Sherman. This is the new restaurant on 19th Street from Chef Nick Wong. We know Nick from his time at UB Preserve, where he was working for Chris Sheppard. He led that restaurant to some pretty substantial acclaim. It and Georgia James were tied for Texas Monthly's best new restaurant in the state the year it opened. When I did my list of the 100 best restaurants in Houston in 2019, it was number 3 behind Riel and Nancy's. So, he had a good run. Obviously, the pandemic was not kind to UB Preserve. It was small. It was kind of cramped. It was difficult to maintain social distancing, and also Underbelly Hospitality was kind of changing the kind of
Going through
space
a
that it
little
wanted to operate
transition.
in. So it didn't last, unfortunately. But Nick stayed in Houston. He's been doing pop-ups. He's been helping people. He worked alongside it at the Blind Goat when that opened in Spring Branch. He was consulting for them. So, he stayed active in the scene, and now he's in the Heights with Agnes and Sherman, which they are describing as an Asian American diner. So let me just ask you, I mean, what were your first impressions when you walked in Agnes and Sherman?
The space feels great. It feels warm. It feels cozy. It feels casual enough that you could go for an early dinner with your family, but has enough sort of va-va-voom that you could definitely do a first date or sort of more of a romantic dinner. It was packed. The restaurant was completely full, bustling. I will say that we waited for our reservation, which is okay. It's a new restaurant, but we did wait, a while for our table to be ready, and we did have a reservation. I really liked it. I've seen this restaurant as Shade. I've seen it as what was it? Alice
Alice
Blue.
Blue, most
Alice
recently Alice
Blue.
Blue.
Yeah. It's a great space. 19th Street is just, always bustling. I think it's great for the neighborhood. We always talk about kind of like what is the neighborhood missing, and kind of what are people going to go to. There hasn't been kind of an elevated Chinese food restaurant in the Heights that I can think of. So I think that this, kind of is really well suited. There's around the corner, there is a Chinese restaurant that has been there forever, and it's called like Asian Cafe, Asia Cafe. But I think that they're doing totally different things. So I wouldn't even consider them to be competitors. I thought there were some things that I really, really liked, some things that I thought could be use a little bit of refinement, but
Yeah,
overall.
I want to get into the food in a minute, but I just want to sort of follow up on your point about kind of its position in the neighborhood, because we have seen over the past few years the Heights is this kind of de destination for, maybe quirky, like, Asian influence concepts. I think about Moon Rabbit, which is doing kind of a creative twist on kind of familiar Vietnamese fare right down the street on 19th, and certainly June. Evelyn Garcia and Henry Liu's restaurant has a lot of Asian influences, but
And Loro.
also,
You've got Loro just right down the way.
sure, but Loro's, VC backed, Uchi cred, like, Loro is an unstoppable force.
Yes,
Loro
we
is
can't
not
talk about
playing the
Asian
same
food in the
game.
Heights without at least mentioning it.
Yeah. But yes, I mean, that High Hospitality chose to take all of their money and invest in the Heights shows that they thought that it would be a good option for them. But June, with its kind of mix of Asian flavors and South American flavors and Mexican flavors, I think, kind of points the way to what Agnes and Sherman is trying to do, which is kind of take, diner classics and also, like, Chinese American food and bring a fresh perspective to it. And so, I'm with you. I think there were dishes that we really loved. There were dishes that completely missed, but there's still things I want to try. So, let's be kind first. What were a couple of your favorite dishes from our meal at Agnes and Sherman?
I loved the savory scallion waffle. I had tasted this before at a pop-up and it was delicious. It had a little bit of chew to it. So it kind of gave you a little, it wasn't necessarily like a fluffy waffle. Like it has a little, there's a little, I don't even know how to describe it. There's a little bit of a chew to it. It's got a little bit of heat, but not too much. It was delicious. I mean, really well made, hot, fresh, came to the table. Absolutely great. I loved the shrimp toast. I have told probably 10 or 15 people the last couple of days since we went. I'm like, the shrimp toast, it's so good. I mean, my mouth is actually watering as we're talking about it because it was that delicious. It was perfectly cooked. It was really, really fresh. The chunks of shrimp were fantastic. I've often seen this prepared where the shrimp is ground into a much, much more of a paste. And this had like more like unctuous chunks of shrimp in it. And I thought that they were really, really delicious with the candied pecans and the honey. Like all together, that dish was perfection to me. No notes. It was really, really great. We didn't try any of the sandwiches, so I certainly know that I'll definitely be back there to try those out. From the to share section, we had the chicken fried steak, we had the rice cakes, we had the egg foo young. I know you're not an egg man. I'm an egg girl. I liked the egg foo young. It needed hot sauce for me. It's like something like to just bring it all together. But I thought it was delicious. I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought that about the egg foo young, and I, like, typically when I order gumbo at a restaurant, right, I take a taste to kind of, see what they're up to, but I inevitably wind up adding a little bit of hot sauce to most gumbos, to red beans and rice, to shrimp etouffee, all of those kind of dishes, so that it, kind of was in line with that practice like was consistent. And you're right, I'm not a big egg eater, but I thought the texture on the eggs was really great. They were super fluffy, and I like that he's kind of bringing a little bit of Louisiana to that. You mentioned the rice cakes. I thought that, that beef ragu, the chew of the rice cakes and the savoriness of the beef ragu, that was my favorite dish of the night. I agree with you on the shrimp toast. That was also very much must order.
Those rice cakes, they had like flash fried them maybe, or they had like boiled them and then like put them in the pan and they got a little crisp on them. They were absolutely delicious, so nice and chewy, and that sauce was flavorful. I mean, it was so well done, really, really delicious. Like the mountain arm on top, really finely shaved. It was that dish, another one that was perfectly composed to me, absolutely delicious.
And then, as you sort of alluded to, there are a couple of things that missed. I'll go first. I'll take the heat
We
for.
have to talk about the collard greens because those were really good too.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Say something nice about the collard greens before I talk about the chicken fried steak.
I love the collard greens. We were dining with a friend and she kept going back for more. I kept going back for more. They were salty, they were briny, they were really well cooked, they were tender, there was still a little bit of a crunch to them. It was a nice big portion. Those collard greens just were absolutely delicious. You could taste the apple cider vinegar. I think they were made with smoked turkey as the protein, but oh, they were so good. I put them on the egg foo young. I put them on the chicken fried steak. I put them on the rice cakes. They were delicious. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, no. The collard greens were good. The tricky thing with collard greens is that they can be bitter, they can be chewy. These were spot on. They were not bitter. The texture was great. A real credit to Nick's Master of Southern Cooking to get those collards right.
And I think they were cut in chiffon, and so they lost a lot of that kind of like that stringiness that you sometimes see when they really broke them down into that beautiful cut. So it was, I'd never seen them created or cooked like that. Delish.
We do have to sort of rain on this parade just a little bit because I wasn't, I'm a chicken fried steak obsessive. I try it basically everywhere that I can, and this version just didn't work for me. I thought the batter was thick. I thought the meat itself was very chewy. I didn't quite get the Boco gravy, like the Vietnamese gravy that came with it. It just missed for me, and it pains me to say that because I really wanted to like it. I'm always looking for a fresh perspective on chicken fried steak, but this didn't work.
I think that the steak itself was not perhaps the best cut of meat for this. When we were looking at it, we were cutting into it. Typically, you have a chicken fried steak, it's a piece of meat, and it's been pounded really, really thin, and to make it tender and so that it can take the heat of the fry. And, when we were cutting into this, the steak had not been pounded out thin. It was more of a traditional steak. You could see kind of some marbling in it, and our pieces that we had, mine were exceptionally chewy. I thought that I think there's potential there. The cabbage salad, it was okay. I think altogether, I just, for $30 for a chicken fried steak, it just felt like I didn't keep going back for more. It kind of just sat on our table. There were just other delicious things there that I thought kind of were, kind of capturing our attention a lot more.
Right. No, I think that's right. And I think if I go back, it would be, that'll be my opportunity to try the steak frites instead of the chicken fried steak. And then the one other one that didn't quite come together for me was the crab rangoon, which I like the idea of this dish because instead of doing them in the wrapper, you kind of get the crispy, the chip like separate, and then you get the dip and you kind of put it together yourself, which I like because it prevents the chips from getting soggy and it kind of controls like how much crab you get. But again, like I don't know. It didn't like I think it's such a cool idea, but it didn't quite come together for me. Just not a lot of crab flavor in that crab dip.
Yeah, I hate to use the word bland, but it was a little bland. Once again, I think that's a dish with a little touch of refinement, a little heat, maybe a little more crab flavor and like in texture. I just felt like that the dip itself was very one note. And crab is delicate, right? And so like having it stand up to kind of like a cream cheese, pepper jelly, all of those things, it's I don't know. It just was it for me. I will, however, say that the cocktails across the board were absolutely delicious. Their cocktail program was hitting it out of the park for me. I had two cocktails. I had the Pandan Colada, absolutely delicious. One of my favorite drinks that I've had so far this year. I know. I also had one more, and I can't remember what that last one was, but it was they were both very, very, very good. Oh, it's a margarita. I think I had the frozen margarita, and it was also delicious. I love a margarita.
The other thing that I appreciated was just how friendly the staff was, very knowledgeable about menu, very accommodating, very gracious. So, and I know that I'm a bit of a known quantity when it comes to these kind of things, but just kind of looking around the dining room, I thought that experience was consistent, kind of regardless of who you were. You mentioned that they waited about 15 minutes after our reservation to seat us, and as it happens, I ran into Nick separately after dinner at Emma of all places, and he mentioned that he's still a couple of cooks short of having a full staff. And so while I want to be honest about our experience, I also, I want to be sort of acknowledge that we need to be mindful of the fact that this is a new restaurant that's still kind of finding its sea legs, and staffing is a huge issue everywhere. And so I wanted to be blown away by Agnes and Sherman. I wasn't, but it doesn't really change my optimism about the restaurant. Like I want to go back. I want to try more of those dishes, right? There's a pastor fried rice that we didn't get.
The
Certainly the
fried
steak
kimchi,
frites, like,
fried shrimp kimchi, the disco fries. Yeah, I want to try
the
everything on
barbecue
that.
club, the Chinese barbecue club sandwich. I mean, that's all still out there.
Oh yeah, and a smoked onion patty melt. I mean, that's right up our alley. Like, and listen, I also think that they're doing great things for making this affordable. This food is, when it comes to kind of like fine dining or kind of fusion restaurants, a lot of the times you're seeing those higher price points, and I think that this menu is really, really approachable. I think you can bring your picky friend. You can bring your kid. I think you know what I mean? I think that this is a great neighborhood spot and is friendly. I also, David Perez, I think, is leading up their bar program, and he comes from Laylo. And I think you can really see some of his whimsical, creative energy in those cocktails. And I was excited to see him in that restaurant. I didn't know if he was going to be working with them. So I think altogether it's great for the neighborhood. And I'm super excited. I've been a Nick Wong fan for a really long time. I constantly think about that pork chop that he had at his time at Georgia James Tavern. It was brief, but it was delicious with the coconut scented rice. I mean, that's one of the best pork chops I've ever had, and that was years ago, and I'm still thinking about it. So he's a creative mind, and I think, once they kind of work out maybe some of their timing issues and things like that, I think it's going to be a great restaurant and, really, really well suited to 19th Street.
No, absolutely. I agree with all of that. I still have high hopes for this restaurant. I want to go back to this restaurant. And in the meantime, I'll probably give Agnes and Sherman a couple more weeks to kind of find its footing, and then I'll go back for steak frites and head on shrimp. And yeah, that fried kimchi looks good. And I've heard good things about the chilled noodles. So I basically already planned our next meal there.
Yeah, and the masa corn cake, brown butter, pineapple jam, horchata ice cream. I mean, we got the sundae, and it was good. It was fine. But like now that I'm looking at, I don't even think I looked at the dessert menu while I was there. And so like looking at this masa corn cake, I'm like, oh, hello. I'd like to try you.
Yes. All right. Lawton, I'm going to say that does it for our restaurant of the week. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, and I will see you soon.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guests will be Aaron Bluedorn and Ali Pena.